Jackson was big news and guaranteed newspaper sales. The British tabloids had tagged him Wacko Jacko and were determined to make his life the greatest freak show on earth.
The press has made it so much god-awful, horrifying stories that are completely appalling and so far from the truth, and it's made me to realize the more often a person tell a lie, the more times you hear a lie, I mean, you begin to believe it. If it's told often enough, you start to believe it.
The trouble is, when you get to be a big star, everybody wants stories about you, and you need a really good manager to make sure the right stories go out, the wrong stories don't go out, and all the situation is handled well. I was not a big fan of Frank D'Elia, who was Michael's manager at the time. I knew where he was coming from, I just didn't think it was right, and I was quite pleased when actually that finished and Michael went into different management situations.
But according to J. Randy Teleborelli, Michael was as much to blame as Frank DeLeo.
Though he will deny it, I have done plenty of research on this subject, and I can tell you, he did mastermind much of the outrageous media hype about him. He did pose for that picture in the hyperbaric chamber. He did have it sent to the National Enquirer, one of the American tabloids, and he did allow them to use it on their cover, as long as they used words like wacky and bizarre in the headline. At the time, Michael Jackson was starring in a feature for Disney called Captain EO, and he wanted to present himself as a science fiction-like character because that's the character he played in Captain EO, and he thought that if people believed that he was really like that, they would be more likely to flock to Disney to see this film. He began using the tabloid media to his advantage. It's not a coincidence that the first wedding pictures of Michael and Lisa Marie ended up in the National Enquirer in this country, in America. Unfortunately, it's a double-edged sword. You use the tabloids and then they use you as well. You find yourself being featured in stories that are pure fiction. And if you as a celebrity create pure fiction when it's to your advantage, you have to know that eventually pure fiction is going to be created around you when it's to somebody else's advantage. And this is where Michael has his biggest problem. He hasn't really figured out yet how to use the media and not allow the media to use him.
The press welcomed Michael's medical gymnastics. He was struggling to hold on to his crown as the king of pop.
Many people thought that the follow-up to Thriller, which was Bad, was indeed bad. And there was a certain backlash against Michael Jackson at that time.
Despite Bad getting a slating from the critics, it still went on to sell over 23 million copies. Hardly a flop. However, it did signal the end of Jackson's working relationship with Quincy Jones. For his fourth album, Dangerous, he teamed up with Teddy Riley, a singer-songwriter at the forefront of the 90s R&B sound. Riley had grown up listening to Off the Wall and Thriller, and was stunned when Michael called to invite him out to his Neverland home.
I was in this room, like a library slash church room, so when I was going to mess with the chess piece, I guess Michael snuck in out of one of those doors, or some secret door, and scared me. I was just so scared, I knocked one of the chess pieces over, and he said, "That's okay, leave it there." And we just started talking from there, and he started going over the ideas, and he was like, "This is the type of stuff I like to do," and he started doing the beatbox and different things like that, and it was so incredible how musically inclined that he is, and it, and like he said to me, you know, "There's nothing that we can't do," and he proved it right.
I don't believe in failure, actually. So I just don't even think about it. Take that out completely out of my vocabulary, the word fail. So I don't believe in it. I constantly coming up with different songs and different ideas and looking and crying into the future, the sound of tomorrow. The music is constantly changing, minute by minute.
Dangerous was a more sincere effort for Michael Jackson to be taken seriously. And it was taken much more seriously by many people because it was a harder, more complex album.
Michael Jackson works with people who do contribute to him. Worked with Teddy Riley, he worked with R. Kelly. We all know these are good people. Sometimes working with good people does not necessarily mean that you do good stuff. It can be a terrible clash. Mostly, in Michael's case, it has worked, which I think says a lot for him, because it means he is very capable of adopting other people's attitudes, seeing where they're coming from, understanding what they're doing, and probably not being so dominant with, I want to do it this way and I'm right. If an artist is prepared to say, okay, I'll try this, let's try a bit of sampling, let's try a little bit of scratching, let's do a little bit of this, then it can work. And Michael generally is pretty good at that.
Michael kind of gave me the creative control when it came to doing the music and coming up with the vocals. He let me bring my writers and did what I always wanted to learn from, like Quincy and Prince and Stevie Wonder. Michael kind of took me to school, and it's just the most incredible thing.
Another of the new breed of producers that Jackson worked with was Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis. Their previous credits had included Prince, Alexandra O'Neill, and Michael's baby sister Janet, Jimmy Jam.
He told us that he feels like he didn't choose to do music, music chose him, that it's part of him. So for him to be able to be in the studio, I think more than anything else in the world, he feels like that's his release. I mean, the hours that he worked in the studio were so long, when people would start getting tired, he would be the one to go, okay, now, but we just need to do this a little better, and we can do this, you know, better. He was really concerned about, you know, whether it sounds good under any condition. He mixes on the smallest, tiniest speakers, because he wants to make sure that it sounds good on whether you're listening on a little tiny boombox or little earphones. He really, really respects his fans. He really is concerned with satisfying them. He realizes that they expect a lot, and he wants to give it to them. We're